Hello and welcome back to Have You Seen It? I'm Maggie, and in this episode, I have a crime drama from Russia to tell you about. Are you ready? Let's go. Before I jump into this episode, let me first apologize for this being a week late. I ran into some technical issues with my mic. I was able to fix it, obviously. That's why you're getting an episode today. So I know the episodes have really been inconsistent lately. Some things have just been beyond my control, like I said, like the mic last week, and episodes have been deleted. Anyways, I just really apologize for that. I also want to say that this episode will not be 2 hours. I promise. I don't think I'll ever do another episode that's 2 hours, mainly because editing was literally like, oh my god, it took me so long. I didn't realize how much longer it was going to take me to edit a 2 hour episode than it does for me to edit normal episodes every week. But I am happy with the episode. I am proud of the episode. I really enjoyed that show. I hope you guys all gave that show a chance. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, go back and listen to it. If you need to listen to it in two parts, then that's fine. I'm not going to be like upset about that at all. But we are going to go back to the more traditional way that I do things, aka no spoilers, and hopefully under an hour. No, this is definitely going to be under an hour. But yeah, there's not going to be any spoilers this week. So this week, I'm going to be talking about the Russian show Sparta. It is a Shredda production that was filmed in 2015 and came out in 2018. There is one season with 8 episodes, and they're all about 50 minutes long. This seems more like a one-shot television show, so I don't expect there to be a second season. But it takes place in St. Petersburg, and if you don't think I sang A Rumor in St. Petersburg from Anastasia, the moment I heard them say St. Petersburg, or I read that they said St. Petersburg, you're wrong. Because have you heard of the rumor in St. Petersburg? Have you heard what they're saying on the street? It's such an underrated movie. Okay, anyways. But St. Petersburg is located in the eastern part of Russia on the Baltic Sea. Russia is a transcontinental country in Eastern Europe and Northern Asia, and it is bordered by Norway, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Belarus, and Ukraine to the east, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, China, Mongolia, and North Korea to the south. And it's separated from Japan by the Sea of Japan and from the United States by the Bering Strait to the west. Some fun facts about St. Petersburg is that the city has changed its name 3 times. The original name was St. Petersburg, but it was changed after World War I to Petrograd to sound more Russian. And then in 1924, after the revolution, it was changed to Leningrad. And then after the fall of the Soviet Union, it was changed back to its original name, St. Petersburg, in 1991. The siege of Leningrad lasted for 900 days, from September 8, 1941 to January 27, 1944. Over 3 million people died from the cold winters and hunger, as well as the violence. It is considered the longest and most destructive sieges in history. Now, I've heard about the siege of Leningrad, however, one fact that I know I didn't hear because I would have remembered it, was between December 1941 and December 1942, 2,105 people were arrested for cannibalism in St. Petersburg. There were 2 types of cannibals: corpse-eating cannibals and people-eating cannibals. Corpse-eating cannibals were opportunistic individuals. They only ate people when the person already died of other causes. And people-eating cannibals, they killed the people to eat them. So people-eating cannibals were shot almost immediately and obviously killed. And corpse-eating cannibals were sent to prison. There was this threat that parents would use on their children, or police would use on civilians, and it was like, if you don't smarten up, I'll throw you into a prison with cannibals. And for a little bit, it was believed that that was just like an empty threat that wasn't actually real. But years after this, I'm talking like 40-something years after this, it was determined that it was actually true, that there were actual cannibals in St. Petersburg at this time. In April of 1943, 300 people were arrested for cannibalism. Of those 300 people, only 44 people killed the person they ate. 64% were females, 44% were unemployed, 90% were illiterate, 15% were homeless, and 2% had criminal records prior to their cannibalism. So, for the most part, it was poor mothers with multiple children trying to feed their children, which is so sad. The last fact about this siege is that the number of Russians lost during this siege alone was more than the casualties of both the United States and Great Britain combined for the entire war, which is just crazy to me. The famous Amber Room is located in Catherine Palace in Tsarskoe Selo near St. Petersburg. The Amber Room was decorated in amber panels, gold leaves, and mirrors, but that was all stolen by the Nazis and has never been found. Like most of the artifacts that the Nazis stole, they either buried them, burned them, or hid them someplace. Literally nobody knows where these things are. But it has been reconstructed and it is now open for viewing, so you can go and see it. Obviously none of the stuff in there is original, but they did recreate what the room used to look like, which is pretty cool. The Peter and Paul Cathedral is the tallest cathedral in Russia. Its bell tower is 122.5 meters high, which is over 400 feet tall. The Hermitage Museum is the second largest art museum in the world and has over 300 million exhibits. If you stood at each exhibit for 1 minute and 1 minute only, it would take over 8 years for you to see all of the exhibits, which is just wild. The last fun fact is the Alexander Column located in Palace Square is held in place by its own weight. It's not supported by anything. There's nothing like holding it in the ground. It's literally just placed there. And when it was first placed in the middle of the square, none of the citizens of the city would go near it. So the guy that created it, Augusta de Montferron, had to walk right by it. And like he would like walk literally right up against it to prove that it was safe. And listen, I know it's been like 186 years since it was put there and it hasn't moved at all. It's never fallen over. Like winds never even made it wobble. It's still 700 tons. I'm gonna keep my distance, you know? They speak Russian in this show. There are no audio alternatives and subtitles are available in English, Spanish, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, and closed caption Russian. This show is rated TVMA, and the disclaimers that Netflix gives for the show are nudity and language. I do want to include that there is the portrayal of child pornography in the show. The actress that plays the 17-year-old student is 21 in real life at the time of the recording. I was kind of taken aback by the whole thing. I think anytime child pornography is ever mentioned or anything, it kind of shocks me. And to kind of see a little bit of the video was definitely shocking. But again, she was 21 in real life, so it is not child pornography. There's nothing violent in the video. She's standing in a room being filmed by an adult undressing. But it definitely was shocking to me. But I wanted to mention it because it is a trigger for some people. So in case that is going to trigger you, just know that that happens. There's also a bit of violence in the show, which I was kind of surprised that they didn't mention that at all, but those are the disclaimers. The links to all the websites where I got the information for the show, the fun facts, and any other information that I did not use my memory for are going to be linked in the description of this episode, as well as in the caption for the post that I made for the show on Instagram.
Hello world, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Doug.
And this is Branched Podcast. Every week, we talk about everyday topics and issues and explore how they interact with the world at large.
Join us each Thursday as we discuss topics like bird scooters.
And tattoos.
And Disney Channel.
So many things about Disney Channel.
Oh my God, forever about the Disney Channel.
We talk about queer issues.
And sex.
We do. Anything that you can possibly think of and more.
As best as any two people can.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
That's right. Bye.
Bye.
There are a lot of people in this show, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't know most of the students' actual names for the majority of the show. I only knew them as the word that the lead detective used to describe them while meeting them for the first time. I'm going to include those, and I'm probably going to refer to them as those because that's like how I knew them. I will obviously say their real names, but I just want to be honest. Like, there were a couple of the students, like, I didn't know their names at all while watching the show until I looked online for this episode, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't think they called her that name at all. Like, it was literally just whatever name Krukoff, the lead detective, called them. So I was like, that's how I knew them. Also, the main teacher, the one that passes away, I didn't know her name either. And it's really difficult for me to say. And I think like last week when I recorded this episode the first time, it was like 25-30 minutes of me trying to say her full name. I'm going to say her full name one time. And then either I'm just going to call her Anastasia, because that's easy to say. Or I'll just take that one recording of me saying it like the best way that I can say it and just keep adding it in. So if it sounds really weird, like I'm saying her name the same way, that's just an editing thing because it's really hard to say her name. But anyways, before we go to the students, I'm going to go over the adults, and I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. The pictures of the actors will be up on Instagram if you want to look at them while I go through the characters, and I'm going to break the adults up into two different groups, police and teachers. So first, let's talk about the police. The lead detective, Igor Andreevich Krukov, he is played by Artyom Tekchenko, and his official title is District Police Captain. Next is Anna Lipitava, and she's played by Valeria Skaranda, and she is Krukov's boss. Her title is Madam Counselor of Justice, Third Class. Krukov says that sarcastically, so I don't know if the third class is necessary, but I'm putting it in there. After Anya, we have Antonia Valerievna. Krukov calls her Tosha for most of the show, but she makes a point that that name is something only he can call her, so I did want to mention what her real name is, though I'm going to call her Tosha if I mention her at any point in the episode, because that is way easier for me to say. But she is described online as a forensic expert. I would say she was the medical examiner, but she's played by Maria Smolakovna. Next up are the teachers. First up is, here we go, Anastasia Nikolaevna Isatomina. Oh, that's not bad. Let me try one more time. Anastasia Nikolaevna Isatomina. That's it. I'm keeping that in. That's the best I've ever said it. Oh my, who knew I just needed to walk away for a week? Okay, we're going to stick with Anastasia. I am keeping all of that in, because that is the best I've ever said her name. Wow, okay. Anyways, she's the teacher that dies, unfortunately, which is why Krukov is at the school in the first place. I get into how she dies in a minute, but she's played by Olga Sutolova. Then we have the school director, Ludmila Mikhailovna Cherva. She is fairly new in her role after the previous school director passed away from a heart attack, after his daughter passed away. Again, I'll get into that a little bit in a minute. But she's played by Yulia Marchenka. The school science teacher, Ignat Antonovich, is played by Vladimir Krylov. The physical education teacher, Vladimir Bragamov, is played by Philip Mogilnitsky. And the biology teacher, Marina Ivanovna, is played by Oksana Bozolevich. And let me just say, I'm doing way better at these names this week. Last week, it took me, I'm not joking, 35 minutes to get through this section. And that's just the adults. I mean, we still have the students, so I might have shot myself in the foot, getting a little ahead of myself. But so far, I'm doing way better. I just want to point that out. Russian names, some of the hardest names for me to say. I don't know why, but they are Russian, and the Icelandic names, they kill me. Now, for the students. Like I said a few minutes ago, I'm going to give you the name of the character, but also the word that Krukov gives each of them when he first meets them. And again, I'm going to go through them quickly. First up is the leader, Mikhail Barkovsky. He also goes by Misha. And he is played by Alexander Petrov, who actually, fun fact, won the Golden Eagle Award for Best Actor in a TV series at the Golden Eagle Award ceremony in 2019 for his role in the show. He does a really good job. And he's also in two other Russian shows on Netflix, so if you guys have ever seen any Russian shows on Netflix other than this one, you might recognize him. He is described as the leader. That's what Krukov gives him, the leader. Next is Irina Sharana, the Dark Horse. She is played by Alyssa Lozovskaya. After the Dark Horse, we have the crybaby, Natasha Beledeydova. She is played by Marina Kalyetskaya. And again, these descriptions are not my own. I'm not describing her as the crybaby. Krukov is describing her as a crybaby. The clown, Ruslan Kudikov, is played by Philip Gorenstein. The tomboy, Olyssa Pyli, is played by Olga Venichenka. The Pierrot Marat Galimov is played by Jan Gerhamanov, and Pierrot, for those me that don't know what that is, according to dictionary.com, is a male character in a certain French pantomime having a whitened face and wearing a loose white fancy costume, an actor, masquerader, or buffoon, so made up. Next is the doll, Anna Melkova. She is played by Yana Inskaiva. The athlete, Georgi Dovzhenko, is played by Olg Gass. The bitch, Kristina Vitalevna, is played by Marina Daminevna. The insolent Maxim Murov is played by Mikhail Grubov. And an insolent, according to dictionary.com, is boldly rude or disrespectful. And the final student is Alina Rusanova, who is played by Vafara Barajina. And the reason she doesn't have a description by Krukov is because she passed away a couple months prior to the events of the show. But she still plays a huge part of the show, so that's why I want to mention her. She was the daughter of the principal. I'm not going to tell you the manner in which she passes away because they talk about it in the show a lot and I don't want to ruin it. I said I would talk about it a little bit more, but I'm not going to tell you exactly how she dies. But that's the cast, and I'm going to put the Instagram post up in four different groups, so the police, teachers, and then the male students and the female students, because I can only put up 9 characters in each post because of the cover photo. So I want to make sure that there's not like one person left out on their own. Okay, so let's talk about the show a little bit. The description that Netflix gives for the show is, while investigating the mysterious death of a teacher, a grizzled detective gets caught up in the world of a high-stakes virtual reality game. I mentioned in the last episode that this wasn't the first Russian show that I was going to watch. It was actually The Method, which, fun fact, Alexander Petrov is in that show as well. And before I watched that one, I kept pushing it back because I wasn't excited to watch it. Like, it just seemed like every other crime drama. There was nothing different, so I was just like, you know, I'm not jumping at the chance to start this series. Which is why I looked for a different show, and this one seemed more exciting, definitely different with the whole virtual reality game aspect of it. But the show starts off in the year 2020, and each episode starts in 2020, and what we're seeing in 2020 is Krukov leaving a prison. I'm not going to tell you how he ends up in prison, because it's not until the last episode that we find out what happens. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that the show was filmed in 2015, but it came out in 2018. So I think present time in the show is 2015, but I'm pretty sure that they don't actually say what year present time is. They just say present day. So it could be 2018, but I don't think so. But after we see him leave the prison in 2020, he gets on a bus and it drives away, then goes back to present day. And this is where we see the English teacher, Anastasia, die. So first, before we even see that, we see the outside of the school, and this is all happening like slow motion with like background music, but we see some young kids playing outside, probably recess or prior to school activity. It's not really clear what time of the day this happens, or if they did mention what time of the day it happens. I don't remember. I didn't write it down. But we see that, and everyone seems real happy and everything like that. And then we see Anastasia coming out of her classroom. And you can see all of the girls in the background, the dark horse, the crybaby, the tomboy, the doll, and the bitch behind her. Some of them you can see clearly, some of them you can't see that clearly, but they are all behind her in the classroom and they're laughing at her. And the dark horse kind of follows her out, and you don't know what she's saying to her, partly because, like I said, you can't hear her. And I don't speak Russian, so I can't read her lips to even guess what she was going to say. So if you can speak Russian and you can read her lips, then you probably might be able to figure out what she's saying to her, but it's definitely not nice. Let's just say that. Whatever she's saying is not nice. Like, at first I thought this teacher was a student because she looks young, and I thought they were just like bullying a student, and I was like, this is messed up. And then you find out it's a teacher, and it's still messed up, but it's a teacher, not a student. But she passes by the biology teacher, Marina Ivanovna, and she has her phone in her hand. She's looking at Anastasia, but you know she was just looking at her phone. And whatever the situation is, it's like you can tell that Anastasia knows what she's looking at on her phone. Like, her reaction is like, oh no, I know what you looked at. Or she thinks she knows what the biology teacher just saw on her phone. So she's kind of like walking away. And she passes by like a younger student, and he gives her this weird look. And it's just kind of all very weird, right? And after she passes this boy, it like cuts to her walking up a flight of stairs. And then we see her about to go into the gymnasium. But we don't actually see her go into the gymnasium. As soon as she's like takes her step through the door, we then see her body falling. It's actually pretty good CGI. I mean, there's definitely one point where you're like, that's a stunt double. But it is actually pretty good CGI, where it's like, it actually looks like she's actually following there. So I was very impressed with that, because lately the CGI in these shows has been absolutely terrible. But after we see her fall, and like, I don't know if we necessarily see her hit. I think I closed my eyes, I'm not gonna lie, because impact is not something I enjoy. I don't like watching that type of stuff. But we do see her body being carried away by the medical examiner's team, the other forensic experts that are there, and we see the white chalk outline of her body on the ground. I don't think we do that here in the US anymore, and it kind of like made me like laugh a little bit. Like, I don't know if they still do that in Russia. I don't think we do that here, but it was just like, anytime you've seen a white outline drawn on a ground of like in a movie or like a video game, with like one leg out to the side and like both arms above the head, like that's exactly what the white outline was. But besides the white outline, we also see a group of some students standing outside of the school watching what's kind of happening behind the yellow tape. And we're all seeing this from the view of the window that Anastasia fell out of. And let me say that these windows aren't like a normal window that's about like 3 feet up from the ground. This is a window that's from the floor to the ceiling that opens like French doors. So super easy to like trip and accidentally fall out of this window. Like, I don't think the glass of the window is like strong. Like, it looks fairly thin, so you could literally just trip and fall out. I'm not saying that's what happens, but I'm saying they're dangerous. But then we see Krukov looking out of a window from the director's office, and they're talking about how the 11th grade class has been jinxed because of the things that have happened to them. And the director's talking about how great of a class they are and how they don't deserve all the bad things that have happened to them. And Krukov at first is like, what do you mean? Like, what's happened to them? But that's when she mentions that their classmate Alina Rasanova passed away only a couple months earlier. And he's kind of like, That is odd. That is very odd for that to happen. But then Krukov asks her what she thinks happened to Anastasia, and she's like, it was a suicide. And then she's like, it was a suicide, right? Like, you know, kind of like, wait, are you questioning this? And he's just like, yeah, it was a suicide. But like, you can tell, like, he doesn't think it was a suicide. Like, he definitely thinks there's something more to it. And then we meet the class for the first time. Now, I'm not gonna go through every moment of that. You can watch the show to see how that kind of all folds out and why he gives each of them the description that he does. Again, those descriptions are leader, dark horse, tomboy, athlete, doll, bitch, insolent, crybaby, pierrot, and clown. But the show is named after the virtual reality game that the students, not all of them, but most of the students in this class, I don't know about the whole school, but definitely in this 11th grade class, they all play. And to me, it sort of reminded me of like Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's an open world game that they're testing for some company. And they do have it at their homes, but they play while they're in computer science class. Like, this company gave the school brand new computers to play it on, so they have the best technology in order to play it on. To me, honestly, it seems kind of fun to play. It's an open world game. You can kind of do whatever you want. There are no rules to this game, so it does get kind of crazy inside the game, and it definitely plays a big part in the show, obviously. The show is named after it. But I personally thought the show would take place more in the game. Like, you definitely see them in-game, because it is a virtual reality game, so you definitely do see them in-game, but I was expecting it to be more of that type of virtual life than it was. I'm not saying I'm disappointed, it was different than what I was expecting. But it definitely is interesting seeing them in the game, and it's kind of funny watching, like, the characters all walk, because it's, like, 2015, so there's some, like, static movements to it, whereas probably now in a virtual reality game it's a lot more fluid, but yeah, it was definitely interesting seeing those kind of graphics and everything pop up. But it's what happens in the game that Krukov thinks has to do with the death of Anastasia. And even though there are only 8 episodes, they do include a lot of different things in this show besides just her death and the investigation regarding her death. So, like, there are parts of the show that you're able to guess what's going to happen, but it's how those things happen, or how some of those things happen, that definitely will keep you guessing while watching. And seeing the different things that each character is dealing with in their personal lives and how it affects the case adds so much depth to the show. I was surprised how much depth they were able to put in, considering it was only 8 episodes. The only struggle that I will, like, just flat out tell you is that Krukov had a stroke, I think about a year before this case happens. And it's led to him not having the full function of his left arm, and it also causes him to have seizures at times throughout the show. What exactly caused him to have the stroke, or what happened right before it happened, I don't know if it's the exact reason he had it or if it's just like a weird coincidence, that leads some people to think that the guilt he carries in regards to what happened is what makes him push this case, even though most people think, or most people want, it to be just a suicide. So it is interesting to see kind of how that plays out and how that affects him throughout the show, because there are some times where you're like, oh my god, is he gonna die right now? Like, I definitely was like holding my breath being like, no, this can't happen this early. Like, he can't die this early, right? But it definitely makes you think like, oh my god. And he's supposed to take his pills every day, but he never does. And they're supposed to help with the seizures. And I don't know why he doesn't want to take them, but he doesn't want to take them. And Tosha is definitely the one that's like, did you take your pills today? Like, she has to remind him almost every day to take his pills. And I really think without her, he probably would have died a couple times in this show. So she definitely saves him a lot. She also helps him in the case when other people are telling him to stop pursuing the case for other reasons. She's kind of the one that has his back through it all. But some of the students are dealing with some pretty intense stuff as well. There's domestic violence. One was sexually assaulted by a teacher. A couple of them are dealing with family issues at home, including one being forced to marry someone that their parents want them to, even though they want to marry the person they're currently dating, who they themselves are dealing with a pretty difficult medical issue, pretty scary issue as well. There isn't much more that I can go into because I don't want to give away too much. There's definitely some stuff that I didn't mention, some of the struggles that the students go through I don't talk about. Again, no spoilers this week. So let's go into my likes and dislikes.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Buenos dias.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Have You Seen It?
C'est très bien.
Oh, Chris has been insufferable using phrases from all the international TV he's been watching recently.
Yo asisto tantos.
So if you want something to listen to while your other half watches series after series,
Morto,
then give the Rank Bank podcast a try. Each week, we have two guests, four great games, and loads of fun and laughs. So find us wherever you get your podcasts or on Twitter at Rank Bank Pod. We hope you enjoy the Rank Bank podcast as much as you enjoy the wonderful Have You Seen It?
Talk.
Oh, stop it, Chris.
Head shoulder gong. Da-dooey.
Da-dooey.
Okay, so my likes and dislikes. I'm going to be honest. This show was not my favorite. I definitely enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it. It was entertaining. But it wouldn't be one of the shows that I would rewatch. The Protector from Turkey. I can't wait till I have some time where I can just sit and watch that show. Probably in between this season and the next season, I'm going to take some time to watch that show again because I just love that show so, so much. But for this show, once was enough. But the things that I really liked about this show was the concept, because it was different from anything that I've seen. I've said it last episode, I'll probably say it 1,000 times. I probably said it at least once in this episode already. Every crime drama from every country is, for the most part, very similar. But this concept with the virtual reality game is the most unique that I've seen so far. It's definitely the first one that I've seen for this podcast, at least, where a video game plays a part in the murder. So that was definitely exciting to watch. I also liked how well Alexander Petrov did portray Misha. He did a great job. I'm not going to get into anything that he does specifically, but I thought he did great. My favorite thing about the show was actually two posters that Anastasia had hanging in her classroom. And they are, "To have another language is to possess a second soul," said by Charlemagne, and "The absent are always in the wrong." I couldn't read the name of who the second quote is attributed to, and online there are two people, Philippe Nerdicult de Touche and Thomas A. Kempis, that were given credit for saying it, but it was also labeled an English proverb. But the two of them, you see them in the classroom like the very first time you're in there. If I can find a picture of them, I'll post them online so that you can read them. But yeah, those honestly were my favorite part of the whole show. And they were up there for like 2 seconds. So the things I didn't really like about the show was that there are times where the acting was not good. Like, really not good. A good example of this, and I'll try not to go off on a tangent this time because last week I went off on a pretty long tangent that I didn't realize I went off on until I looked at like how long I'd been recording. And I was like, ooh, okay. Reel that back in. The worst acting was the athlete. He plays a couple sports. Swimming and basketball are the main two that you see. His basketball skills is bad. It is so bad. He wouldn't make a second grade travel team with his basketball skills. And that seems harsh. But when you watch the show and you see the way that this kid dribbles a basketball, you would agree. There are first graders that can dribble the ball better than him. And I reffed first and second graders. And while there was a lot of traveling, which he travels, by the way, he takes like 7 steps on the layup in a game. And I'm like, come on. Are you serious? Are you serious? That's nitpicking. That's the athlete in me being like, that's bullshit. That's a travel. But yeah, there are definitely first and second graders that dribble the ball better than him. And I feel bad for the actor. Because obviously, like, my judgment comes on him because his inability to dribble a basketball. But that's mainly on the director, the producer, the creator of the show, because there was no need for him to be a basketball player. There's a scene, I think, I don't know if it's the first episode or the second episode, but we see him and the tomboy at a swimming pool. And, like, I don't know if it's actually him swimming, but if it's a body double, you can fake that easy. Like, that's so much easier to fake. Why not just keep him being, like, an Olympic-level swimmer? Because He's supposed to be a really, really good basketball player. And when you watch him dribble, it's like, how? Even people that don't know sports would look at him dribbling and be like, that's bad. That's really bad. And then, like, there's a scene where the gym teacher is trying to teach them how to shoot a basketball. He's like, I can shoot the basketball. And I'm like, no. No, you cannot. That is some of the worst form I've ever seen in my entire life. You do not know how to shoot a basketball. But, like, there was no need to put the actor in that situation. Like, if you didn't want him to be a swimmer, which I don't know why you wouldn't, like, swim meets can be crazy and rowdy. Like, you don't need to be at a basketball game. But, like, even if you didn't want him to be a swimmer, find a sport that this kid can fake better, because he can't fake basketball. And I just feel really bad for him, because it's rough. And my judgment at first came all down on him, and I'm like, no, like, they put him in this unfair situation where his inability to dribble a basketball is super obvious. And that was, like, the thing that I did not like the most. And besides the other bad acting, and there is some pretty cringeworthy acting, that scene of him dribbling that basketball, I was like, oh, it made me want to turn it off. It really did, because I was like, this is just uncalled for. This was unneeded. Unnecessary. Just keep him in the pool. He swam great. He could have been a college level or Olympic level swimmer. You know, you could have made it fit the actor, and instead you forced the actor into a situation that he very clearly was not comfortable. He looked so uncomfortable dribbling that basketball. It's ridiculous. But anyways, I said no tangent. I went off on a little one. Let's just jump to the things that stood out to me, okay? So some of the things that I noticed was the athlete. I'm not picking on him, but he has some pictures on his bedroom wall that definitely include Larry Bird. As a Celtics fan, Larry Bird stands out anywhere. I don't even have to be able to see his jersey or his number. I can just tell who he is. So it's definitely Larry Bird. And then there's a collage that has Barack Obama in it. One of those pictures is 100% Barack Obama. I think the collage is Barack Obama playing, like, sports while he was, like, in high school or college, maybe. But he's definitely has a basketball in one picture. I can't really tell the other pictures. And then the other picture, I think, is Jerry West. I think. I'm not 100% positive on that one, but it's definitely a professional basketball player. And I would bet $5, I'm poor, so I can't bet any more than that, that it is Jerry West in that picture. If you guys watch this show and you're confident that it's somebody else, I will literally Venmo you $5. But you have to prove to me that it's somebody else. I will Venmo you $5. Again, I'm poor. I can't do more than that. The last thing with the athlete, I'll stop picking on him, is that his character wears an LA Lakers uniform in the game. It's number 13, but it's his last name on it, so it's not like a player's uniform or anything like that. Another thing that stood out to me was that Natasha, aka the Crybaby, has posters of Toph, the blind earthbender from the show Avatar, The Last Airbender, on the wall in her bedroom. The gym class itself takes place in a room that looks like it was a regular classroom that was turned into a gym. It's basically just the size of the basketball court and, like, maybe a foot outside of the boundary. It isn't the place where the athlete plays his basketball game. That's, like, an actual basketball court, like, with stands and everything like that. I don't know why they didn't have gym class in that gym, because there's more space and you don't feel claustrophobic. Unless it wasn't a home game, but I think it was a home game. But that classroom reminded me of a basketball court that we used to play on in, I want to say, Belmont, Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. I think it was Belmont. And it was, like, this, like, weird back room in their high school gym. So, like, you had to go upstairs to get to it. And it was literally, the room was big enough just for the basketball court. So the parents, when they were watching, they were basically on the court. It was almost impossible to inbound the balls from the sidelines, because you were basically sitting in the laps of parents that weren't yours. And it was just like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, you need to move your feet. Like, it was very claustrophobic. And that's what the gymnasium in this show reminded me of. The weirdest thing I noticed was that the bathroom stall doors were only half doors. So you can see the person that's on the toilet. Like, as they're sitting there, the door comes up to probably about, like, shoulder height. Their head is above, and, like, anybody that walks in can see them. I've had nightmares similar to that. But anyways, I think it's funny that Americans get a lot of shit for the wide gap between the door and the stall in our public bathrooms. And let me say, I 100% agree. That gap is too wide. And the risk of making eye contact is always there. Now, if you are the person that's outside of the stall, looking into the stall, that's creepy. Stop doing it. Okay? I'm looking out because that's my only option. You looking in should be your last option. Okay, the only time you should be looking into that gap is if you think I'm passed out. That's it. But the fact that the door in this show is only half of a door is insane to me. Why? Who thought that was a good idea to cut off half of the whole... It's the whole stall. It's not just the door. It's the whole stall. From the door to the wall is half. It's like... I don't know. Like, it's just so weird. Like, I would never go to the bathroom at school if that's how the stalls were. Like, I wouldn't even go there to waste time during class, which is something I did all of the time. I would not even go to do that. I would just walk around the halls. I know there's at least one person from Russia that has listened to this podcast. So if you're here and you've made it this far, can you please let me know if this is real or if this is not normal? Like, you're hearing me say this and you're like, that doesn't happen here at all. Because I know what I saw on the show. I need to know if that's standard practice for your school bathrooms, because it's so wild to me and it's making me uncomfortable thinking about it. And I have not stopped thinking about it. Every time I go to the bathroom at work, that's all I think about. Is like, what if this stall was cut off halfway? And I would just be staring at myself in the mirror. It makes me very uncomfortable. So I need to know, is it real or is it not real? You can tweet me, you can email me, you can DM me on Instagram. I just need to know. Please let me know. But I will say, I feel like I missed some things. So if you guys notice anything while watching the show, then definitely let me know. Like I just said, you can tweet me, you can email me, or you can DM me on Instagram.
I'd like to introduce you to the guys. Meet Russ.
So real quick, guys, follow us on Twitter at @NAU_podcast and on IG at @NameThisFamous. Use the hashtag #NameThisEnoughFamous. Email the show.
We'll send you a sheet of our new POG giveaway.
This is Clark.
We may or may not have shot off illegal fireworks. May or may not. Just how about this? Everything I say, there's a may or may not in front of.
Aw. Of course, Rojo.
That's right, it's Random Ass News, as we always love to bring you the most random, crazy stories. Florida man, angry over gift shop's mask rule, exposes himself in front of children.
And well, you have to watch out what you say around ADM.
Okay, I just have you guys know this has 5% alcohol in it, okay?
Russell, it might have 5% alcohol, but you are 100% bitch.
What's your name?
What's my name?
What's the name of our podcast?
Wait. Nameless and Unfamous.
Okay, so now is my favorite part. Words and phrases. I was able to get a couple. I've already mentioned some Russian words that I got while watching the Ukrainian show The Sniffer. So I was able to recognize a lot of those while watching the show. If you want to know what those were, you can go back and listen to that episode. Or you can find them on the Instagram page. If you scroll down far enough... I do post the words that I learn if they are typically written in a different alphabet to the one that we usually use in English. So again, these ones will be posted up there. But the first one that I got was Moya Familia. It means my surname. And I know there's, you know, a lot of you are like, Maggie, why would I need to know that? When am I ever going to need to speak Russian? You know, and things like this, these key phrases, they might not seem important, right? Until you get stopped by a Russian official and they're asking your last name to confirm that the papers that you have to carry with you after they've invaded the US and you need proof that you're allowed to be here and you have no idea what they're asking you because we don't speak Russian and never thought we would need to speak it because there was no way that they would ever be able to invade and take control of our country because our government, and more importantly, the president, would never allow it. So when they start shouting, Familia! Familia! You will at least know that they want your last name. See? Now it seems not so crazy. Familia, last name. It's an easy thing to remember because it sounds like family. So when they're yelling Familia, Familia in your face and you're starting to panic, you can remember Familia sounds like family. They want my last name. And the next word, Mozna, which is translated in the show as may I, Google Translate says it means can. So to everyone, that basically means the same thing, except for that one substitute teacher we all had in middle school that when you went up to her and asked, can I go to the bathroom? She would respond with, I don't know, can you? And you'd be like, may I? And yes, you may. So besides that one substitute teacher, to everyone else, they basically mean the same thing. So when you aren't sure if you're able to walk away from that encounter with the Russian officials, you can ask Mozna while gesturing away from them. And when they nod yes or shout at you yes in Russian, you can say the next phrase, Blagoderio, which means thank you. If you remember when I went over the Ukrainian show, I told you how to say thanks, spasiba. Now, it's probably safer to use the more formal blagoderio. And the last two phrases actually can be used in this completely hypothetical situation that will never happen, but like, does have a chance of happening. The first is dobre utro, which means good morning, and it is a great way to start the interaction off on a positive foot, you know? Dobre utro. And once again, once they start talking Russian super fast, because if you don't know a language, it doesn't matter what rate they speak it in, it's going to be super fast and very aggressive. You can say ni ponyo, which is translated in the show as I don't get it. And Google Translate says it means not understood. You know, really in any situation, if you go to Russia and they start talking to you in Russian and you have no idea what's going on, ni ponyo, that seems like a pretty key phrase. I don't know if it's applicable to that situation. The one Russian person that's listening, if you're still listening, if you haven't exited out, you can let me know if that is applicable to that situation. But I would probably use it and just hope they knew what I was talking about. Or at least they would figure out that I don't speak Russian. And I know it seems like I picked these words or phrases on purpose because it fit this, like I said, hypothetical situation. But I really, truly didn't mean to. It wasn't until I was going over this and I was like, why would you need to know moja familia? And I'm like, well, I guess it would be important if you ever got stopped by, like, police. And even if it's not here in America, even if Russia doesn't invade us, let's say I go to visit St. Petersburg because Anastasia is one of my favorite movies, and I just want to go to every country where I have seen a movie where they sing a song in the streets so that I can sing, have you heard of the rumors in St. Petersburg? And as I'm looking like a complete idiot singing that song, the Russian police stop me. I do know all of those words, and those can fit that situation as well. And if you don't think I'll do that, if you don't think I will fly to a foreign country solely so that I can sing a song through the streets, then I will inform you that the only reason I wanted to go to Barcelona with my brother and my cousin on our trip to Europe was simply because of Cheetah Girls 2. And if you don't think that me and my brother were able to point out different parts of Barcelona based solely on that music video, now you do. And if you're judging us for that, then that's fine. I don't think he listens to this podcast, so I don't think he'll hear me talk about it, but we definitely walked by an alley and we were like, this is the alley that they came down. And yes, that happened. That 100% happened. So if I ever could go to St. Petersburg and sing a rumor in St. Petersburg, I would do it. I'm poor, so I can't afford it, but I would do it. So anyways, those are the words. Let me say them again for you. They are moja familia, mozna, blagoderio, dobre utro, and ni ponyol. So like I just said, when words and phrases are written in an alphabet that is different than our alphabet, I post them on Instagram, so you'll be able to see all of these words and phrases written in the Russian alphabet on Instagram. If you guys are able to pick up any words and phrases while watching the show, then definitely let me know. To the one Russian person, if you're still here, and I didn't completely offend you, which was not my intention at all, just a funny joke that I think is funny again. If I pronounced any of them wrong, then please, please let me know. You can also tell me that you hate me and that it wasn't funny if you want. That's okay. But the next part is familiar faces. I didn't recognize any of the actors in the show. I know I mentioned Alexander Petrov was in the show that I was going to watch instead of this one, but I only know that because of his IMDb page. I didn't actually watch the show, so I didn't recognize him from it. If you guys recognize anyone in the show, then let me know on Twitter, or you can always email me, or you can just put it on the post on Instagram, because I will be posting them. But that's all I have for you guys for the show. I know it wasn't a lot. After spoiling the whole show last episode, I didn't want to give you guys really anything this week. I do think now that I'm here, I went off on some tangents, so I don't know how long this episode is going to be. I think it might be longer than I was thinking it was going to be. It's definitely not going to be 2 hours. I don't even think it will be 1 hour, but it will definitely be longer than what I thought it was going to be. I didn't really give you too much about the show because I did spoil so much last week. But also because this show has a lot of twists and turns, it was fun to watch all of that play out, so I don't want to ruin it for you guys. Like I said, wasn't my favorite show, but I still did enjoy it, so you guys definitely should give it a chance. If you do give it a chance, then let me know what you guys thought of it. I don't think there will be a second season. The way it ends, it felt complete. Like I said, I think it might be like a one-shot. If I do hear any news about this show, then I will let you guys all know on Instagram. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at OfficialHYSI. You can check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/OfficialHYSI. If you have any show suggestions or feedback, you can email me at haveyouseenit1@gmail.com. Feel free to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to. I know definitely Apple Podcasts, you can do it. So if you listen on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave a rating. I'm not going to ask you to leave a 5-star rating. If you think this podcast is trash and you want to leave a 1-star rating, then go ahead and leave a 1-star rating. That's okay. I'm an adult. You won't hurt my feelings. I'm still going to make these episodes. But go ahead and leave a review as well. Like I said, any feedback, you can email me. I hope you all have a great day and a great weekend. Next episode, I will be talking about the comedy The Last of the Schmucks from Egypt. Have you seen it? Because I have.